101.9 FM W260 CV Racine and 98.1 FM W251BU Kenosha.
And streaming everywhere on the Civic Media app.
This is the CBS News World News Roundup, sponsored by O'Reilly Auto Parts.
I'm Deborah Rodriguez, and the most Oscars go to Oppenheimer. KNX's Margaret Carrero has our top story from L.A.
The biopic that follows J. Robert Oppenheimer, considered the father of the atomic bomb, won 7 Oscars during the ABC telecast, including Best Picture and Best Actor in a Leading Role for Cillian Murphy.
Chris Nolan and Emma Thomas, it's been the wildest, most exhilarating, most creatively satisfying journey you've taken me on over the last 20 years.
Oscar-winning director Christopher Nolan had this to say when asked how it's been to see Oppenheimer in embraced by both audiences and his peers.
The response from people around the world far exceeded anything that I'd imagined possible.
He said winning this recognition from his peers is the icing on the cake.
Emma Stone won Best Actress on ABC, beating Killers of the Flower Moon's Lily Gladstone. Killers didn't win any awards. Barbie won the summer box office, but only a single Oscar for Best Song. Billie Eilish picking up the prize.
I'm so grateful for this song and for this movie and the way that it made me feel. This goes out to everyone who was affected by the movie and how incredible it is.
Outside the Dolby Theater, protests over the war in Gaza snarled traffic and slowed down red carpet arrivals.
While some people are celebrating and pretending like nothing is happening, the Oscars are happening down the road while people are being murdered, killed, bombed with U.S. funds by settler Zionist Israel.
An emergency summit gets underway in the Caribbean today on spiraling violence in Haiti. Eddie Acevedo is with the Wilson Center think tank.
The gangs control over 80% of the territory of the capital in Port-au-Prince.
The U.S. military has airlifted non-essential U.S. embassy personnel out of Haiti. A top al-Qaeda leader is dead. Here's correspondent Cammy McCormick.
He was the head of al-Qaeda's Yemen branch. Khalid al-Batarfi had a $5 million U.S. bounty on his head after leading the group in the Arabian Peninsula, the branch considered one of the most dangerous in the world. It isn't clear how he died. The militant group showed a video of him wrapped in a white funeral shroud and al-Qaeda's black and white flag.
A stunning apology just in from a British royal. The UK's Kate Middleton says she's sorry for any confusion over yesterday's photo with her children that was pulled by news agencies over alterations. Princess of Wales says that, like many amateur photographers, she does occasionally experiment with editing. Part of her daughter Charlotte's arm appeared to be missing. S&P futures down 4. This is CBS News.
Think O'Reilly Auto Parts for all your car care needs. Get the parts and service you need fast from the professional parts people at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
For Civic Media News, I'm Nate Wiggehout. Here's what Wisconsin needs to know. President Biden will be back in Wisconsin next week. He'll headline a campaign event in Milwaukee on Wednesday. The White House is saying no more than he'll take part in political events. The general election is underway for all intents and purposes. Biden and Donald Trump's primary opponents have all dropped out of the race. One of Wisconsin's largest lobbying groups is appealing a ruling that says that the State Department of Natural Resources can require large livestock farms to get wastewater permits before they pollute local waters. Wisconsin Manufacturing and Commerce's legal team sued the DNR on behalf of 2 large farms last year. They say that requiring large-scale farms to get the permits is burdensome regulation. Earlier this year, a judge ruled that the DNR does have broad authority to require wastewater permits. I'm Nate Wiggehout, Civic Media News.
The Bucks sink the Clippers. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with sports. The Bucks took over in the fourth quarter to beat the Clippers in L.A. 124-117, Giannis on how he and Damian Lillard scored a combined 69 points.
We're just trying to play basketball. You know, was able to get to his shots, get to his three. It's time that we work in practice. We did it against the Lakers. Tonight it worked. It's something we're going to have to do moving forward. And we both have to play make in the last 6 minutes.
Men's college basketball. The Wisconsin Badgers losing to number 3 ranked Purdue 77-70. The Badgers head to Minneapolis as the 5th seed with their first game in the Big Ten tournament Thursday afternoon at 1:30 against the winner of Rutgers versus Maryland. NFL free agency getting underway. The Packers to release Devondre Campbell this week. The 30-year-old linebacker had numerous injuries the past two seasons. The move could save Green Bay $10.5 million in salary cap funds. That's sports. I'm Mike Clemens.
Partly cloudy and a little breezy today. We'll get to around 61 for a high this afternoon. The wind out of the southwest at around 15 to 25, especially later this afternoon. Tonight, 45. Tomorrow, mostly cloudy, 64. On Wednesday, partly cloudy with a high near 55. I'm meteorologist Sean Cable. Right now, it's 31.
Coming up Monday on Nat Nair On Air, join us for 3 headlines and a lie. And we learn about organ donation with Versity's Colleen McCarthy. I hope you can join us.
Like a touchdown on your radio dial. Yeah! And home of the Packers. 1400 AM and 99.9 and 98.1 FM, WRJN.
People go, you're on TV or movies. Is it easy to act? Yes. I mean, yes. It's not hard. I mean, obviously people can do it. It's not like other things. This might be the easiest. Because you always hear about people doing it and doing well. I mean, the Oscars. This is the hardest thing you can do in acting. The best of the best award of all actors, right? Yes. Gabrielle Sivide. Winner she is. She was in Precious. Never done a movie. Up for an Oscar. Last year, Beast of the Southern Wild. 5-year-old girl. First movie. Up for an Oscar. Jennifer Hudson. American Idol. Gets 8th place on American Idol. She can't win in the field she has trained her whole life for. Singing. Waltzes over to acting, wins an Oscar, her first try. It's like me, hey, I want to play the NBA. Oh, you can't do that. That doesn't look that hard. I'm the MVP the first year. You're better than LeBron? I guess. They just put it in the hoop. It didn't seem hard. Yeah.
It's 7:07 at WRJN Radio. See, they always say you should give the day off after the Super Bowl. I think you should give the day off after the Academy Awards. Although it wasn't on that late this year. Nell Minow, the movie mom, is with me. And I had a good time last night. Did you?
I had a great time. Yeah. I thought it was one of the best Oscar ceremonies that I've seen. And I like that it started a little earlier, so we didn't have to stay up so late. And I thought it was gracious and lovely and touching. I mean, there were a few dumb moments, but overall, it was great.
Mary McCarthy. I couldn't remember her name in the last hour. I'm trying to remember Mary McCarthy's name.
From the group?
No, Mary McCarthy. She did one of the presentations last night, and she went off script. And it was obvious she went off script.
Melissa McCarthy.
Oh, Melissa McCarthy. What did I say? Mary McCarthy? The actress?
Yeah, Mary McCarthy wrote the group. You're talking about Melissa McCarthy.
Yeah, Melissa McCarthy. Oh, see, that's why you got to be here to correct me on these things. Melissa McCarthy, I forget who her co-presenter was.
Her co-presenter was the woman who got the Oscar for The Help.
That's why I can't remember their names. I remember their accomplishments were. They went off script, or Melissa McCarthy went off script. And she was digging a hole and couldn't get out of it. And finally, her co-presenter said, let's go back to reading the script.
Yes. Yeah.
I mean, they write those scripts for a
Octavia
reason.
Octavia Spencer.
Octavia Spencer. Yes, 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 yes. Wonderful actress. I liked her in Hidden...
Hidden Figures. Yeah, she's great in that.
I'm getting so old, I can't remember anything. I remember parts of it.
And if you want to see her terrifying, she's in a movie called Ma.
Yes, I saw that. Yeah, the same guy who did Get Out made that movie.
Yeah.
Which my wife and I watch over and over again.
That is a brilliant movie.
Yeah, and Ma, she was terrifying
Jordan
in that
Peele,
film.
Yeah.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Anyway, so yeah, that was the only problem point in the whole thing when they did that. It's just, you know, you got to stick to the script.
I've got a few more problem points.
Go ahead.
Well, let's start with the biggest problem point, which is I understand that there are two audiences for this event. There are the audiences in the theater, and then there are the hundreds of millions of people watching it on screens. And when they do the In Memoriam, we want to see the In Memoriam.
That's on my list of faux pas on that show. I have a list of things I wanted to talk about. Go talk about that.
Yeah, I mean, they had dancers, which was lovely, but we want to see the faces and the names of the people we lost. And that's the very touching part. I thought they picked beautiful music. Time to Say Goodbye, one of the most touching songs of all time. It was beautifully performed, but we couldn't see the dang thing.
No, you could. Your eyes had to go darting all over the screen. Where is it now? Where is it?
Yeah,
where is it?
Yeah,
and when they did do it, it was so in the background.
You couldn't read it.
And then they were flashing some of them real fast.
Yes, at the end they flashed, you know, just long lists of names. I can't even tell you who was on there.
They looked like white lines to me at home because you couldn't read the names. I used to like it when they took the whole screen and they let you see who it was.
And I'm sure it's going to be available online today, but I thought that just completely obliterated exactly what that segment is supposed to be.
You were absolutely, that was on my list of faux pas, the In Memoriam. I do wait for that because when I see it, I'll say, gee, I didn't know they passed away. Sometimes one person, you know, gets by you.
Yeah.
And you don't realize it and then you feel bad.
I thought they whisked by some of the big ones too fast, as far as I could tell, to the extent that I could see it, you know.
Well, they did Matthew Perry. He's a big TV star. But
they did. He made some movies. He made movies.
Oh, did he? Okay.
Yeah.
They can't be too memorable because I can't think of them.
Yeah. well, he made that one with Bruce Willis, where Bruce Willis was the hired killer.
Nope. Doesn't ring a bell.
All right.
No. Let me see. I didn't bring my list up here. I listed a whole bunch of stuff on here I had to talk to you about this morning. And I listed it under the word Oscars. So here it is. Okay.
Good beginning. Okay.
First of all, they did keep it on time. Not only on time, they brought it in under budget, under time.
They had to stretch. Yeah. I know. Even though they started 5 minutes late.
I didn't think David Alan Greer was a great announcer. He stumbled a few times. They used to have a woman named Randy, and I can't think of what her last name was.
Mm-hmm.
She was the announcer for years on the Oscars. She was so good. I don't think you did a good job on that, David Alan Greer.
Yeah.
Good-looking set. Set designs were wonderful.
That was beautiful.
When the mood changed, the colors changed. Now, do the people in the audience get to see what's on TV?
I don't think they have monitors, no.
But how do they know when the camera's on them?
I think they alert them ahead of time, and they say, for example, the Spielberg bit.
Yeah,
I think they told he knew that was coming.
Okay.
And the Michael Keaton bit, which I thought were two of the highlights, actually. They came to Spielberg on the Jurassic Park joke, which I thought was delightful. He was great on that.
Yeah.
And I loved Michael Keaton glaring at the two Batman villains, Arnold Schwarzenegger and Danny DeVito. Danny DeVito says, "You threw me out a window."
Yeah. I don't know if... what's the director's name they were staring at? The guy who won the Academy Award last night, Christopher Nolan.
Chris Nolan, yeah.
I don't know if he didn't look like he was having fun with the joke, but you never know.
I think that's just him. He's a very, 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 I mean, have you ever noticed what a laugh riot his movies are not? he's got, I don't think he's got much of a sense of humor.
And his wife produces all his movies.
Yes, she does. And you see that a lot of people did shout outs to her, and she did a lovely acceptance speech for the Oscar for Oppenheimer.
Have you noticed that I won't say least, maybe the least popular, animated short subject or live action short subject, those people who win have the longest speeches?
Well, they've been waiting their whole lives.
Well, and I told my sister-in-law this, and I said, the thing is, they'll probably figure they'll never get another chance at this.
Yeah.
This is their one shot.
Well, some of them go on to become filmmakers of feature films. My favorite all-time speech from somebody who won for a short was a young woman who, as you know, that even if you are not a big star, if you're going to be seen at the Oscars, even just in the audience... people will approach you with very fancy outfits and jewelry and stuff like that. And she got up and she said, I just want to say these earrings cost more than my film.
That is good. And you know what? I know they have to thank everybody because they're in that type of business where...
Listen, if anybody I've ever met in my life wins an Oscar, I expect to be mentioned.
Yeah, you have to, because if you ever want to work again, you got to mention the producer. But the thing with, I want to mention my mother-in-law, my father-in-law, my kids and their toys. I want to mention all that. I mean, enough already. I mean, if they got to play the music to get you off stage, I mean, then you've been talking too long. I was mentioning to you before we went on the air, finally, after 70 years of being snubbed by the Academy Awards, Godzilla won his first Oscar last night. 70 years of being
just
snubbed.
Just in time for his new upcoming movie where he's teaming up with King Kong.
But you know what the reviewers said on this film? And you've seen Godzilla Minus One?
Yeah.
They said it's much better than the Americanized versions of Godzilla. This one, it just brought it back to what it was, Godzilla.
Yeah.
And I found out why it's called Godzilla Minus One. Did you find
out?
Okay. You don't know?
I do know, but you go ahead.
Oh, yeah. It's because after the bombs dropped on Japan, they were at zero.
Right.
Godzilla came along and took them even lower than that to minus one.
Right.
And that's, I didn't know that the last
but
night.
But it's a
I
great it title, and it is, and the special effects were great, and, you know, it was a tough one because it was up against some other movies with great special effects, but Godzilla himself is a special effect, and so I think they gave it, as I say every year, sometimes they don't give it for the best, they give it for the most, and that movie certainly had the most special effects.
I think they gave it to Godzilla for his body of work. Since 1954, that's some body of work after being ignored. They gave it for all his films. I think that's I think that's what they did. The only clips I've seen of it, this monster looks great. I mean, he's not the man in the rubber suit ones you remember. Remember those Son of Godzilla movies? They look so stupid. You look back at them today and say, what were they thinking when they put that in the theater?
Well, you have to just sort of go with, you have to just, I mean, but you know what really still holds up very well is the original 1930s King Kong.
Yes!
That, it still looks good.
And that's the one where they moved the little figures, frame
stop
by frame.
Animation.
A frame. He's still frightening, more frightening than the current King Kongs. So I heard, and you would know this more, because I heard only part of the story, that the reason this Godzilla movie, Godzilla Minus One, was not released by Warner Brothers was because of something they did. They didn't do it in English. There was some way they got around Warner Brothers not being able to have this film. They could release it themselves. Because Warner Brothers, I think, owns the rights to the Godzilla movies.
Yes, they do. They've had a long tradition of being very, very grabby about monster movies. So they've got Frankenstein, they've got The Mummy, they've got all of that. And I think you're right. I think it was the language thing, but good for Japan.
Did that bother you that it wasn't in English at all? Did they read the subtitles?
You're not there for the witty dialogue.
Okay. I just, if it's a really good movie, I don't mind the subtitles. If it's a bad movie, I'm bored by the subtitles.
I mean, you're there to see the monster.
Yeah.
And you don't even have to read the dialogue. You know exactly where it's going.
I've got some of these behind the scenes Godzilla pictures where they show the guy in the Godzilla suit with his head off and he's just,
he's
getting a drink of water or something.
Yeah.
Mel Minow, the movie mom's here. Hang in there. Just take a quick break. We're going to talk about the actual winners, the big winners from last night, the snubs, and some of the big disappointments. All right, that's all coming up here. The Movie Mom at moviemom.com. Nell Minow is here this morning. Love having her. We're talking the Oscars. It's 719 WRJN, Hometown Radio Refreshed, a Civic Media station. Stay where you are.
Listening to WRJN Racine, Southeastern Wisconsin's home for the Devil's Advocates radio show.
I joined the Carpenters Union 15 years ago as an apprentice, got free training, and have been able to advance. Now I'm a superintendent running high-profile projects in Milwaukee that change the city skyline. I'm looking for skilled and experienced carpenters. If you want to join my team with great pay, better benefits, and a chance to advance, apply today. Call 262-970-5777 and press 0 to apply. That's 262-970-5777 and press 0.
The Maggie Dawn Show.
How to avoid this apocalyptic nightmare? It's to vote. Because at the end of the day, the only thing that will save our democracy is our democracy. America, make your voice heard. Turn away from authoritarianism and vote this November.
The Maggie Dawn Show, weekdays from 2 till 4 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app. News, talk, and sports for Racine and Kenosha, WRJN.
Almost heaven, West Virginia, Blue Ridge Mountains, Shenandoah River.
Life is David Spade was doing a comedy bit about acting isn't that hard. You know, Jennifer Hudson came in eighth place on American Idol, and that was her chosen profession. She trained all her life. She came in eighth place, waltzed right over to acting, and won an Oscar on her first outing. So he said, it's not that hard. John Denver did it, too. I don't think he won an Oscar, but he was in a lot of movies after he...
Oh, God.
Yeah. Oh, God. 1, 2, mm-hmm. 10, 12... unfortunately for him, he decided to fly an experimental aircraft, and that was not a bright thing to do. Let's talk about the big winners last night, and everybody kind of thought Oppenheimer would clear it out, and it did. And I saw the movie. What did you think of the movie?
I thought the movie was very, very impressive. I did not love it, but it was certainly very impressive. And, you know, Hollywood likes to show that they're smart and that they care about serious issues, and that's why they never pick a comedy for Best Picture. They haven't picked a comedy since, I don't know,
Annie
The Apartment.
Hall?
The Apartment, Annie Hall.
Yeah, Annie Hall.
That's about it. So they like to have a big, serious 12 Years a Slave type picture, and I think Oppenheimer fit the bill. And it won, of course, a lot of preliminary awards, and, you know, the Directors Guild Award, the BAFTA. So I don't think anybody was surprised by that. I would have preferred to see Paul Giamatti win Best Actor instead of Cillian Murphy, but certainly nobody worked harder for a movie last year than Cillian Murphy.
Yeah, and I felt the exact same way you did about Oppenheimer. I thought I was impressed by it, but I didn't love it. Yeah. One of the reasons why my wife and I went to go see it in the theater, and the music was so loud. The music was under everything in the film. They didn't stop with the music.
Yeah.
I mean, there was no quiet scenes in the film. And the music, I don't know if it was the theater doing, it was so loud, it was hurting our ears.
Wow.
And we was like four people in the theater when I saw it. And so, because we saw it, old people go in the afternoon, the matinees.
Right.
And so we went at like 4 o'clock in the afternoon. It was impressive. And here's what I don't get when these actors do this. Cillian Murphy's got a very thick Irish accent.
Yeah.
Russell Crowe had a very thick Australian accent. But when in their movies, you don't hear it.
I know. It's amazing. I know.
How do they get rid of that?
Well, this is what I always say. They're not getting rid of an accent. They're just switching to a different accent.
I know. You're right.
That is a huge part of being an actor. And for some reason, British actors, I think they know that if they want to work in international film, they have to perfect an American accent. And not just an American accent, but understand the difference between an Alabama accent, a Texas accent, Northern California accent. And they are absolutely terrific. I mean, one that impressed me very much was in the movie First Man, where you had the British actress from The Crown playing the wife of Alan Shepard. And in real life, that woman, the wife, went to my high school. So I was really very picky about the accent, and she just nailed that that northern suburbs of Chicago accent. So I think that is part of what makes a great actor. I mean, you have some exceptions to that. Two times Sean Connery played an Irishman, and did he care? No, he just kept his Scottish accent. When he played that Russian submarine commander in Hunt for Red October, he still kept his Scottish accent. Nobody cared.
You know what it is, too? If we know Sean Connery and then he puts on another accent, it sounds ridiculous because we're so familiar with his voice. And there was I like old radio shows. And John Daner, who was a great movie actor.
Yes, wonderful.
He was on the radio version of, what the heck is the name? And I listen to it all the time. He plays a British correspondent from the London Times. He didn't even try to put on a British accent.
Yeah. I actually put on, I'm just going to continue to call it Twitter. I put on Twitter yesterday, what's the worst accent in the history of movies? I am not accepting Dick Van Dyke because I just love Dick Van Dyke, but I think we all know that he's always on the list. But the one I picked is Orson Welles plays an Irish guy in The Lady from Shanghai, and seriously, the Lucky Charms leprechaun has a more authentic accent.
They're magically delicious.
Yeah, that's right. But Cillian Murphy does a great job with the American accent. He has to learn other languages for that, as well as the language of physics. But I also want to say, make it sort of a general comment about 2023 biographical movies. We had three big important figures of the from history with movies last year: Napoleon, and Oppenheimer, and Ferrari. And all three movies, I thought, spent way too much time on the love life. And Maestro. With Leonard Bernstein, all four movies spent much too much time on the love life of the person involved, and not enough time on what it was that made them so monumentally influential.
Yeah, absolutely,
I don't know why that is.
You know, Humphrey Bogart was asked about when he made the Caine Mutiny.
Yeah,
and he said, "What do you think of the film?" He said, "They crapped it up with a love story."
Yeah. Yeah, they were afraid the audiences needed to have a female, and even though she's only in a tiny little part of the movie, I agree with that.
They did. They stuck a love story.
You got to trust the audience a little bit. But I would like to have known more about Oppenheimer's relationship to the field that he studied. Why that field rather than another field of science? A little bit more about him and understood more about the actual mechanics of what he was working on. And also, there were so many fascinating characters at Los Alamos working on that, on the Manhattan Project. And they had just like an incredible murderer's row of actors in that movie. Everybody's in that movie. I would like to have known more about that.
Yeah, Matt Damon.
Yeah, Matt Damon's fantastic in that movie. He could easily have had a Best Supporting Actor nomination, and it would have been fun to see what Jimmy Kimmel had to say about him.
Yeah, that's right, because they got this thing going on between the two of them.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, I forgot about
that feud, yeah.
That would have been good. I want to save the Best Actress category after the break, because it's going to take a long time to talk about that.
Okay.
Robert Downey Jr., deserve the Best Supporting Actor. I don't know if he likes them talking about his drug arrests that he had.
I really objected to that. Yeah. You know, first rule of comedy is you don't punch down, you punch up. And certainly Robert Downey Jr. is as distinguished an actor as you can find, as successful an actor as you can find. But I don't think it's right to rag on him for his past. It was not his fault. His father started giving him drugs when he was a child. And he has come a long, long way. I think he deserves all the credit in the world for coming as far as he has. He's an extraordinary actor, and there were some very inappropriate jokes in what Jimmy Kimmel said. I was really unhappy about that. But boy, he got up there, he thanked his terrible childhood. If you have not seen his documentary about his father, which is just called Senior, I highly, highly recommend it. His father was a pioneering filmmaker until he got caught up with drugs and some bad choices. But it is such a loving, loving, loving tribute.
Yeah, Putney Swope. Also, the movie Pound, Robert Downey Jr. was in there as a little child.
The Dog Pound,
The Dog Pound movie. Oh, Nell Minow is here. We're talking the Academy Awards. We're talking movies. She's the movie mom, moviemom.com. You got to check out her reviews. You're going to love them. 729 WRJN. I'm Don Rosen. Keep it here. We got so much more to talk about with the Oscars. Don't move.
To WRJN Southeastern Wisconsin's home for the Todd Allball Show.
This report sponsored by Current Electric, home of the superhero. Current Electric, a pioneer in solar energy for residential and commercial in the state. Go to callcurrent.com.
This is Chuck Smith, founder of Current Electric. I want to thank you, Southeast Wisconsin, for making us number one electrical service company in our area. From residential and commercial to all things solar. Do you know the number one reason people call Current Electric? It is trust. We answer the call. They trust our heroes in their home and businesses. With 8,500 five-star reviews and growing, I'm so very proud of our team of heroes. Go to callcurrent.com. That's callcurrent.com. Home of the superheroes.
Are you a dairy farmer looking to stay ahead of the curve in an ever-evolving industry? The key to success in today's fast-paced dairy industry is really a focus on continuous improvement and innovation. I'm Charity Seebecker from the Midwest Farm Report. And the countdown is on to the 2024 Business Conference presented by the Professional Dairy Producers. It's set for March 13th through the 14th at the Kalahari Resorts in Wisconsin Dells. Cassandra Strupp, PDP Program Manager, says whether you are a producer, industry professional, or a student, this is your chance to get the tools to drive innovation in your business.
So it's very timely, it's very relevant, and it really fits their needs in the fact that if you need quick sound bites, the Learning Lounges is going to be for you. If you need to learn by seeing, touching, and doing, the hands-on hubs are going to speak to you. If you need to do one-on-one with your session and really do a deep dive, your breakouts and your specialties are going to be what's going to gear you into the next year. So we're definitely gearing in or focusing in on your different learning styles so that when you go back to your business, you are fueled up, you are energetic and super excited for this next year, regardless if it's the next 6 months, the next year, or even further beyond that.
That was Professional Dairy Producers Program Manager Cassandra Strupp. With over 54 educational sessions, there is something for everyone. So whether you're a seasoned dairy farmer, a curious consumer, or simply someone with a passion for agriculture, mark your calendars to attend. You can find more information on our website at MidwestFarmReport.com. I'll have more news right after this.
Lely Center Monroe is ready to upgrade your dairy farm with the latest robotic milking and feeding equipment. Your cows will be healthier and happier with a consistent 24/7 milking and feeding routine. Thousands of dairy producers are embracing the Lely way of milking and feeding, saving time and money while having high-quality milk. Find them on Facebook, Lely Center Monroe, or stop by the shop in Monroe. Lely, a world leader in robotic milking and feeding.
Go on the offensive against weeds with Antares Complete from Helena. Antares Complete eliminates early weed competition with long-lasting residual control of broadleaf weeds and grasses. With a balanced premix of three herbicides, Antares Complete combats herbicide resistance and helps soybeans achieve a faster, more vigorous start to the season. Take a tactical first strike against weeds and protect your soybeans early with Antares Complete. Always follow label instructions and check registration before use. Contact your Helena representative to learn more.
I'm Charity Seebecker from the Midwest Farm Report with a look at your agribusiness news. Farmers not yet enrolled in the Ag Risk Coverage or Price Loss Coverage programs for 2024, you have until March 15th. Both safety net programs, delivered by the USDA's Farm Service Agency, provide vital income support to farmers who experience substantial declines in crop prices or revenues for the 2024 crop year. From the Midwest Farm Report, I'm Charity Seebecker.
You're listening to News Talk and Sports for Racine and Kenosha, WRJN. Local radio for you and your community. It's Civic Media's mission with stations across Wisconsin. Find your favorites at civicmedia.us.
Partly cloudy and a little breezy today. We'll get to around 61 for a high this afternoon. The wind out of the southwest at around 15 to 25, especially later this afternoon. Tonight, 45. Tomorrow, mostly cloudy, 64. On Wednesday, partly cloudy with a high near 55. I'm meteorologist Sean Cable. Outside now, it's 33.
After the loss of a loved one, you or someone close to you might benefit from grief support. Hospice Alliance is here to help. As your community hospice, individual, group, and even children's programs are available to help, serving Racine, Kenosha, Southern Milwaukee, and Eastern Walworth counties. Learn more about Hospice Alliance's services and grief assistance. Visit hospicealliance.org.
When you think about it, talk radio is its own type of sport.
News Talk and Sports, 1400 AM and 99.9 and 98.1 FM, WRJN.
Close your eyes and I'll kiss you. Tomorrow I'll miss you. Remember, I'll always be true. And then while I'm away, I'll write home every day. And I'll send all my loving to you.
It's 7:34 at WRJN. Even the Beatles separately went on to acting, you know, not as the Beatles. Remember that John Lennon was in a movie called How I Won the War back in 1965, where he was just by himself in that film. And Ringo Starr was in a couple of movies, in The Magic Christian. Remember,
right?
Remember that film with Peter Sellers? He was in that. I don't think Paul McCartney did any acting or George Harrison by themselves, but I know Ringo and John were in a few movies.
Yeah.
Nell Minow, the movie mom, is here. We're talking about the Academy Awards last night, and we were talking about Lily Gladstone, who played a wonderful role in The Killers of the Flower Moon. I mean, she's up. Look who she's acting with. Leonardo DiCaprio, Robert De Niro. She's got Martin Scorsese as her director, and all those. And she held her own and went above.
She went above. She was wonderful. And my understanding is that behind the scenes, she also helped. She and the other Native Americans helped to guide the film. The book really centers on the white guys, on the FBI investigation. And in fact, Leonardo DiCaprio was originally cast as the character that Jesse Plemons played, who doesn't come in until the last hour of the three-hour film. But the community really persuaded Martin Scorsese that the heart of the story is about the experience of the Native Americans. And that's what makes the story so visceral, so painful, is that we get to love these characters, and then we see how horribly that they are treated and murdered. Lily Gladstone did the hardest kind of acting there is. She listened. She thought. She didn't say everything that was on her mind. That's something that's a little unexpected for those of us who do say everything that's on our mind.
Yes.
And she was, you know, she is in every way the heart of the movie. She was just absolutely fantastic. And Leonardo DiCaprio, who is not shabby as an actor, could not stop saying enough good things about her.
Even the death scene, where she doesn't die, by the way. I'm not going to ruin anything.
Right.
But where she's dying. Oh,
right.
I didn't know what was going to happen.
Well, it's so
dying.
Wrenching because she knows that her husband is trying to poison her. Oh. I mean, this is not a spoiler. This is a historical event.
Yeah.
And yet she just still loves him, and she's so heartsick and so disappointed and overwhelmed. And yet she just has this beautiful, shining presence and grace. I think that's the word I would use to describe her her performance. It's just filled with grace.
Divine Joy Randolph from The Holdovers won Best Supporting Actress. I didn't see the movie yet. I'm going to see it.
I loved it. It's my number two of the year after American Fiction, which we're going to get to. And it is my favorite Alexander Payne movie. Absolutely loved it. All three actors, not only Divine, but also Paul Giamatti and Dominique Sessa, were tremendous. I was around back in the 1970-71 era, and so believe me, it took me back there with the visuals, with the music. Do you know that they shot it in mono rather than stereo so that it would feel like a 70s movie? And Divine Joy Randolph, who has been so great in Only Murders in the Building, where she plays the cop, in the Dolomite movie with Eddie Murphy, she's She's a graduate of the Yale Drama School. She's done a lot of work on Broadway, and it was genuinely thrilling to see her work recognized because she took a character that in many, many movies would be background or exposition or there to teach the white characters a lesson, and in fact made her every bit equal to the importance to the story of the other characters. She plays the cook at a boys' boarding school. The reason she took the job was so that her son could get a good education. He did very well in the school, but not well enough to go to college, and so he went into the military and has been killed in Vietnam. So she's dealing with the most devastating loss that a human being can have, and about how she experiences that, how she interacts with the other characters. She is just tremendous. I couldn't be more happy about her award.
How about Paul Giamatti losing? Now, I know you're a big fan of him in that film as well.
You know, when I talked to my daughter before the ceremony, you know, my children refer to this as Mommy's Super Bowl, so they know no one's allowed to talk to me during the Oscars.
I agree.
I said to her, if Paul Giamatti wins, I know it's only about a 40% chance, but if he wins, I will stand up and cheer in my pajamas. And I really, really wanted that for him. He just, first of all, he should get an Oscar for everything he does. He was fantastic. But he was so, so good in that. Now, he did win some other awards for it, and I'm glad about that. And I hope someday he will be recognized for the extraordinary body of work he has.
He was in that movie about a magician. I don't know if it was The Prestige or the other one.
They both came out at the same time, and I've never straightened it out. But yeah, he was in that.
He was in the other one, okay.
Of course, he's in the Howard Stern movie. Sideways, of course. With the same director who did The Holdovers. He doesn't get many lead roles. He does a lot of supporting work. And, you know, he really related to this. He went to a boys' prep school, and his father was the president of Yale and then the head of MLB, of Major League Baseball.
That's so right. Paul Giamatti,
He grew up in that milieu, and he, for some reason, he's very good at playing disappointed people, people whose lives have not turned out the way they think they should.
Well, he's got that face.
Yeah.
I mean, I told you off the air, he'll always be Howard Stern's boss to me at WNBC.
But I want to recommend a movie that nobody has seen that he is so good in, okay? He's in a movie I absolutely love called Cold Souls, about an actor who can't quite get it right, and believe me, Paul Giamatti acting like a not good actor, that is an acting job. And so he decides there's a service in New York where you can remove your soul and have it put in cold storage until you need it again. And he thinks that's going to help his performance. It's about what happens then, and it is such a good movie.
It's a good premise. I like the premise. One of the best lines in an acceptance speech I like was Billie Eilish. When she was listing all the people, she listed one of her teachers. She said, she never liked me, but she did a great job.
Yeah. Wasn't that wonderful?
She was good at her job.
Can you believe it? Martin Scorsese has one Oscar. Billie Eilish has got two.
She's very good, though.
She's very good.
Her and her brother. That's her brother.
She and her brother, Phineas, yeah.
Yeah, they get different names, but they're brother and sister.
Well, legally, her last name is the same as his, but for her professional name, she took her middle name.
Now, you wanted to talk about, which film was it you mentioned? Not the, not Anatomy of a Fall. What's the other one? You said you wanted to mention that film.
Oh, Zone of Interest? No. Which?
I don't know.
We'll just go through all of them then.
No, American Fiction, you said.
Oh, I want to talk about American Fiction. That was my favorite film from last year. And the other one I was really rooting for, Cord Jefferson, first-time screenwriter, first-time director. I really wanted him to get the Best Adapted Screenplay Oscar, and when he did, I did jump up and yell. I was just delighted. I had the pleasure of interviewing him. He is such a thoughtful guy. Now, this is not the first thing he's ever written. He's written a lot for television, including one of my favorite TV shows, The Good Place, and The Watchmen. But this was his first screenplay based on a book which I had read that came out 20 years ago by Percival Everett called Erasure. And I said to myself, when I knew this movie was coming out, gee, I'm not so sure that movie can be adapted. Well, he really got the ideas of the book and made it into a true movie script. That's not always easy to do. The casting in that movie is tremendous. Every single one he got. In terms of ensemble acting, that had the best ensemble of the year. It was fabulous, and it is such a great story about a professor played by Jeffrey Wright, who was nominated and could easily have won last night. I thought he was incredible in the movie. He's a black professor of classical literature, and everybody keeps telling him, you have to write a black book. And he says, I am black. It is a book. Therefore, it's a black book. No, no, no. We want you to write about, you know, stereotypical characters who live in the ghetto and have guns and drugs and stuff like that. And he gets so angry that just for a joke, he writes the book like that. And it becomes a massive success. And it's about what happens then. And it is a brilliant satire with a lot of heart, real characters. Sterling K. Brown, who is in that film with him, also nominated for an Oscar, did an amazing job as his brother, the doctor. And I love that. And I was really thrilled to see American Fiction recognized last night.
Some of the speeches, the director who won for Best Documentary 20 Years in Mariupol, which is the story about the Ukrainian fighting against the Russians.
Yeah.
His line when he said, you'll never hear a director say this up here. Yeah. I wish I had never made this film.
Yeah. And that was so moving. Unfortunately, as sometimes happens at the Oscars, the juxtaposition between that and what came next was very jarring, and they didn't think about that, but his speech was definitely the speech of the night, and so important for us to recognize that, we're looking at glittery prizes and beautiful people. Think real life is going on, and of course they had a huge protest by the Palestinians going on outside the theater. That was great. If you out there want to see just one of the films you never heard of last night, it's free on YouTube. The Last Repair Shop.
Yes, that one, yeah.
That one last night. It is one. That was the one where the 12-year-old girl was up there on the stage.
Was she in the film?
Yeah, and was involved with the making of it.
Okay.
It is such a great story. The city of Los Angeles is the only place where every child in the school system gets a musical instrument. And the Last Repair Shop is all volunteers, and they are there to repair all the instruments so that every child can get one. And at the end of the movie, this is not a spoiler because it's a documentary, at the end of the movie, there's a performance by adults who grew up and became musicians because they had access to these instruments.
The kudos to Marcus Theaters, which does most of the theaters here and in the Chicago area.
Mm-hmm.
They, just before the Oscars, they spend 2 weeks running all the best pictures.
Oh.
So you can see them all together. You can see them over a weekend, or you can see them individually over the week. But they run them all, and they run a complete day of all the short subjects up
That's
for Oscars.
Great.
They run them all. You can sit there for 3 hours and watch them all.
Well, the animated ones especially are definitely worth a look, and the documentary ones. I have to mention a couple of other things that happened last night. We have to talk about John Cena coming out there.
Yeah, naked.
there's something else. There's a little bit of subtext there that I want to mention. The costume designers are possibly going to go on strike, and their slogan is, without us, you're naked. And they were beside themselves because they, I think, correctly understood that that was a solidarity for them, because he was presented the costume award, and so they, you will see a lot of hashtag about that from them. First of all, if you're going to pick somebody to go out naked, John Cena is a good choice. And the fact that he's supporting the union just meant the world to them.
They took a chance, because if that card would have fallen by mistake or whatever, I don't think he was wearing anything under that card.
It certainly didn't look like it, but that's the magic of costume, and I thought that was handled well. And I'm sure you remember, and I certainly remember.
The David Niven one, yeah.
That
had to be set up when David Niven did it, because the guy was standing backstage naked. I mean,
he was, and I think that there was a lot of thought that that might happen, and he certainly was prepared with the right comeback.
Yeah.
I also want to mention something that I really loved last night. I'm so happy they brought back the idea of the five former winners as
yes,
presenters.
Yes, I love that. I mentioned that before you got on the air.
I absolutely love that, particularly with the Best Supporting Actress. I thought their speeches were so lovely and gracious, because in that one, with the Best Supporting Actress, each of them was actually friends with the person that they...
Yes.
Mentioned.
Yeah.
And so there was just, you could tell, so much heart. And it really was a great reminder that while we have one winner, we have five extraordinary performances that we're honoring.
I thought that it's better than just reading it off a card, somebody squinting at the teleprompter. Yeah, and the jokes that don't play out most of the time. Oh, I just love the way they did that. And we'll talk more about that in a second in the presentation. And I do want to talk about... one of my favorite lines of the light of the night from Jimmy Kimmel about Barbie. I'm going to get your opinion about the Maestro movie, Maestro, which didn't play in theaters. It was a...
Netflix. It went straight to Netflix, and I think that probably hurt its chances a little bit. I thought it was very... one of these monumental figures, and it was about his love life. I thought there were three incredible scenes in that movie, and the rest of it was not so great.
Hold on one second. Nell Menno, the movie mom, is here. Quick break. We're back with more of the Oscars here at WRJN, Hometown Radio Refreshed.
You're listening to WRJN, Southeastern Wisconsin's home for Matt Nair on Air.
Most of us can agree we should have the freedom to make our own medical decisions. Politicians should have no role at all, but not California mega millionaire Eric Hovde. Hovde said, "I am totally opposed to abortion, and I'm 100% pro-life." And he supported overturning Roe v. Wade, the court case that protected abortion rights. Hovde's been supported by Wisconsin Right to Life, an extreme anti-abortion group that supports banning abortion, even in cases of rape and incest, and threatens doctors and nurses with criminal charges for providing abortion care. With views like that, Hovde could be a crucial vote in favor of a national abortion ban, letting politicians decide what's right for women. Call Eric Hovde at his California office at 714-730-4444. Tell him his position on abortion is dangerous for Wisconsin women. Paid for by A Better Wisconsin Together, Inc.
This is News Talk and Sports for Racine and Kenosha, WRJN.
At WRJN Radio. I got so much to talk about with so little time. Nell Menno, the movie mom, is here, moviemom.com. I wanted to talk about Maestro. Now, there's a movie that didn't play in theaters. It went to Netflix. And is that fair to have movies nominated that don't play in theaters?
I think it is. I think what we have now is really a seamless world between the streaming and the theaters, and that is a full-on feature film, and it certainly deserves to be looked at like any other feature film. So, yeah, definitely. You know, I thought that movie had three incredible scenes. The scene with where he's falling in love with his wife, and as they're watching the dance from on the town, I thought was just gorgeous. The scene where they have that great big fight with the Macy's Day Parade going on outside the window, incredible. So, and of course, the scene where he's conducting the Mahler, Bradley Cooper studied for 6 years to learn how to conduct that. Those were some of the best scenes that I saw last year. But there were some other scenes that I thought were problematic, and I thought, again, why are we watching one of the monumental figures of the 20th century and focusing so much on his love life?
And why are we watching it on the small screen? Why can't we watch
it? I actually saw it on a big screen at an early screening.
You were lucky.
I'm lucky.
I want to talk about, I thought one of the funniest lines of the night from Jimmy Kimmel when he was talking about the director of the movie Barbie, how she wasn't nominated,
yeah,
and people were clapping in the theater. He said, wait a second, you're the people who didn't nominate her.
You're the ones who didn't vote for her, yeah.
You're the ones who didn't. Now all of a sudden you're clapping. You're the guilty party.
That is true. Barbie did get a lot of nominations. Greta was nominated for screenplay and, of course, for Best Picture. But as I said, Hollywood doesn't like to give too many awards to comedies because then people won't take them seriously. So,
Yeah, I think Greta's doing just fine. She's taking on Narnia next, and whatever she does with it, I can't wait to see.
People forget about the Oscars after a while, and they move on to what's a good movie. Talk about
I have a couple other things I wanted to mention.
Go ahead.
I wanted to mention what was going on with Al Pacino.
Oh, what's the matter? Well, he's old.
Okay. It looked like he didn't feel like he even knew he was there. It was so anticlimactic. I mean, the one thing you expect from an actor is that they have timing and stage presence, and we didn't get any of that from him, so I have no idea what was going on with him.
He just opened the envelope and said, it says Oppenheimer.
Yeah, and really, come on. And a little drama, please. And also, we have not talked about what I think everyone agrees was the highlight of the whole evening, which is I'm Just Ken.
Yeah, you know, I was going to mention that. That was one of my next subjects here. When I was growing up, all the musical numbers were extravaganzas at the Oscars.
Right.
And they stopped doing that over recent years. I think Billy Crystal did
the
last one.
Remember the one with Rob Lowe dancing with Snow White? That just about killed it right there.
Yeah, you're right. Yeah. But last night we had a big, huge number, and that was reminiscent of the big numbers they used to have back in the 60s.
Busby Berkeley. I mean, the thing with the Barbie faces, that was shot from the ceiling down, that's Busby Berkeley right there. I thought it was tremendous. When I saw that some of the other Kents from the movie were dancing on the stage with him, and Slash?
Yes, Slash
showed up?
Yeah, he was wearing the top hat. That's Slash from Guns N' Roses, yeah.
Uh-huh. I just loved it. In fact, I got up early this morning before you called and watched it again. I loved it.
I taped it. I'm going to watch it again.
Yeah, it's on YouTube, so you can see it.
No, I taped it. I DVR'd it.
Oh, good.
So I can go past. And by the way, quickly, what happened to the first 5 minutes of the Academy Awards last night? It was all commercials. It didn't start till 6:05. What was that all about?
I know. And then Jimmy Kimmel came out and he said, "We're already 5 minutes behind." I'm not kidding about that. They must have had some kind of backstage kerfuffle that we will learn about. But yeah, I have no idea what happened.
And I don't know what you saw, but here in the Milwaukee TV station, we saw the same promo running over and over and over.
Oh, no. I had a whole series of commercials.
Yeah, we had commercials.
I kept looking at my clock thinking, because I just adjusted my clock for daylight saving. And I kept looking and said, "Did I do the clock correctly? What's going on here?"
Yeah, and I kept screaming that my wife was in the other room. And I said, "Now they're 4 minutes late. Now they're 5 minutes late." And she said, "Enough already. We know they're running late." Let's talk about some of the fashions last night.
Okay.
Most guys wore tuxedos. Some didn't. But that was okay. They still looked nice. And I feel bad for her. Ariana Grande came out as a presenter in this dress that was about 22 sizes bigger than she is.
And I don't know. It looked like it was a sea creature swallowing her up. I don't know what was going on there. She was, by the way, she was co-presenting with Cynthia Erivo. They are the stars of the forthcoming Wicked musical, Part 1. And I like that. I like that even though they're not allowed to promote the movie directly, I like that was sort of the letting us know what's coming. And the same thing with Emily Blunt and Ryan Gosling. They've got that movie coming out about the stuntman and the director.
Look at Michael Keaton
a highlight with Arnold Schwarzenegger. You know, Arnold Schwarzenegger and Danny DeVito come out and you go, "Oh, they're going to do a twins thing," because they were in the movie Twins together. But no, I talked about how they were both Batman villains and both killed by Batman. And then they go to Michael Keaton in the audience, giving them the Batman look. It was fantastic. Love that.
He came out. Well, what's her name from Second City, the woman that Michael
Keaton? Catherine O'Hara?
Catherine O'Hara. They're both in the new Beetlejuice movie as well.
Yes, I know. That's I'm really looking forward to seeing that because Tim Burton is back. And so what Harry Belafonte song will they have used this time?
And will he use the phrase "It's showtime"?
I'm sure he will.
Just the way he said "It's showtime."
That's right.
You could talk about the Oscars for like days. A lot of people can. We don't have Joan Rivers anymore to do her commentary on the Fashion Police show.
But we have to talk about Emily Blunt's shoulders. What was happening there?
What happened? I didn't notice him.
Okay, her dress was, the straps from her dress were like an inch above her shoulders.
Oh, yes, I did notice that.
That was very odd.
Yes, I did notice that. There was like a big gap between her shoulder and the strap. I did
this
notice that.
This is why you don't want the customers to go on strike, because they would fix that.
Well, who was complaining, too, their dress was crooked when they went up
there? Oh, no, Emma Stone's dress was broken in the back.
Oh, it was broken. I thought you said
it was coming apart.
Now I can speak to you for hours. We should cancel.
We'll do it again soon.
Oh, please. I love talking to you. You're so passionate about movies, and so am I, but not like you. I mean, you know all the facts. You get to meet these people. The only person I got to interview, Mickey Rooney once. I'll send you the picture.
I love Mickey Rooney.
I did a sit down with Mickey Rooney.
I just rewatched National Velvet. He's so good in that.
Yeah. Nell, thank you. Hold on line. Don't go anywhere. Just stay right there for a second. I'm Don Rosen. We'll do it again tomorrow morning, 6 a.m., bright and early. We're dark and early now. WRJN Radio. Hometown Radio refreshed.
News, talk, and sports.
Talk about your triple play.
Get this guy a jockstrap and a cookie.
1400 a.m. and 99.9 and 98.1 FM. WRJN.
Monday on Nightlight, I welcome Jeopardy Master and Green Bay's own Ben Chan. It's Nightlight with Pete Schwabba from 7 to 9 p.m. on the Civic Media Radio Network.
Are you ready to enjoy retirement? How would you like to live in a place dedicated to your comfort while allowing you the freedom to live an active and worry-free lifestyle? Fountain Hills offers condo-style apartments, and their residents enjoy going out for lunches and dinners, grocery shopping, playing cards and bingo with other residents, all while using extra precautions to keep their senior residents safe. To explore becoming a Fountain Hills resident, see FountainHillsApartments.com or call 262-886-9200.
Your home for the Packers.
1400 AM WRJN Racine, 99.9 FM W260CV Racine, and 98.1 FM W251BU Kenosha.
And streaming everywhere on the Civic Media app.